This will be the third week that of talking about bought at a price. Bought at a price, I believe that Jesus paid the price for us to bring us provision in our life that unless we understand it and reminded of it, that we can't operate in the fullness of who we are. And if we're reminded of what Jesus did, the price that he paid, it will change our life, even in difficult times. Because he paid a price. The last 2 weeks, first 2 weeks of the series, we're talking about healing. Jesus came to give provision for our healing, of every type of healing. I mean, some people need financial healing. Some people need emotional healing. Some people need physical healing. He came to bring healing. Today is actually leading up to the greatest miracle of ever, the greatest day in history, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He went to the cross, volunteered, went to the cross, gave up his life, went to a tomb for 3 days, and was resurrected on the third day. So next Sunday will be the celebration of that, but what led up to that? Well, everything that Jesus did, everything that he does, and everything that he will ever do is calculated, its own purpose. There's nothing accidental that Jesus does. He didn't say, well, I did that by accident. I'm glad that happened just right. Everything that Jesus does, everything that he's doing, everything that Jesus will do is always on purpose. It's for a purpose. And you are his priority. Sometimes we think, well, Lord, you're too busy to take care of this. I've had somebody say, well, Pastor Mike, you're too busy. I don't want to burden you with my problems. Listen, you are my priority, and we are Jesus' priority. So don't ever think that he's too busy. Certainly don't ever think that I'm too busy, because that is priority. We are here to minister to one another, and everything else can fall below that. Amen? But Jesus Christ is number one. Well, he came. Today is Palm Sunday. So what's Palm Sunday? Well, I love palm trees. I love palms. And although he created those, Palm Sunday comes from when he was walking in, volunteering. We're going to talk about that today. Went into Jerusalem, the people gathered around and laid palm branches on the ground. Some of them laid their clothes on the ground so that when Jesus came through the gates of Jerusalem, walked in that city that day, everybody was worshiping, praising God, and just laying down everything before him. And that's where Palm Sunday comes from. But most importantly, we see that he was not drugged into Jerusalem. He was not forced. He was not coerced. He was not talked into. But he came into Jerusalem that day because his Father planted in his heart to lay down his life for each one of us. And so we have life today. We have provision in our life today because of what he did, the price that he paid. So I want to talk about that for a little bit, and we're going to get into, I believe, what the Lord would have us to say and draw us closer to him and encourage us. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says this. We'll read this, and then we'll pray. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For you were bought at a price." That's you, every single person. "You were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the provision that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the price that you paid for each one of our lives. Thank you for the plan that you have for us, Lord. And that through your word today, Lord, you'll give us revelation of what we're to do to serve you, to love you, and to be a blessing to you and a blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus came on a donkey riding into Jerusalem. 1,900 years before that day was prophesied. 1,900 years before that day was prophesied in Zechariah 9:9. You have that? I don't have it. Well, in Zechariah 9:9, it was prophesied that day, 1,900 years before, that day in history would happen. But we're going to pick up today in Luke 19, which is what we have here. Luke 19, we'll see in verses 28 to 38 what happened that day. And it says, when he, speaking of Jesus, had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when Jesus drew near, when he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet. Well, Jesus is traveling with some others. And I'm told, I haven't been to the Mount of Olives, but I'm told that as you approach the Mount of Olives, you can look down over the villages and see what's going on down there. And so Jesus was approaching the city of Jerusalem, as he came up to the Mount of Olives, and he overlooks the city of Jerusalem there. And it says, he, Jesus, sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a colt tied. Well, this version says colt, meaning donkey. We know what a donkey is. Enter, you'll find a colt tied on which no one ever sat. Isn't it interesting that Jesus knew the details of this donkey, where he would be tied, and for them to go to that donkey of which no one had ever sat, no one had ever ridden, no one had ever sat on this donkey. You will find a colt tied there on which, in verse 30, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. So they were sitting at the Mount of Olives waiting on these two disciples to go down to the village and to get this two donkey to bring it back. And if anyone asks you in verse 31, if anyone asks you why you're loosing it, loosing the donkey, thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. Underline that word need. The Lord has need of it. Verse 32, so those who were sent went their way and found the donkey just as Jesus had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? Jesus knew that that would happen. If somebody came up to your donkey, you'd probably ask them what they were doing too, right? I know I would. Hey, that's my donkey. What are you doing? Why are you loosing the colt? In verse 34 it says, and they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then, as Jesus was now drawing near the descent of Mount of Olives, going down into Jerusalem, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and to praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. Now, you're talking about a parade. You think Disney or the great Macy's Day Parade, that was nothing compared to this parade this day. When Jesus was riding the donkey in, and everybody began to sing and rejoice with a loud voice, it says, Almighty God, for the works that he has done, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and in glory in the highest. What an amazing day. What an amazing day that this transformed. This transformed our lives. This was leading up to him giving his life. You say, well, we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, but yes, it's also interesting. There are things we can learn from in these several days prior, leading up to Good Friday, the 3 days he was in the tomb and being resurrected, that I believe that we can learn from. Prophesied 1900 years earlier. Rejoice greatly, Zechariah says, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. This is 1900 years before. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Wow. Did you know that just as Jesus had this plan, this had been planned for all of history up to this point, had been prophesied, just as that was planned, your life also, Jesus has blessings planned for your life. You say, well, what about what I'm facing today? What about this difficulty? What about this challenge? What about this thing that I'm facing in life? Jesus has a plan for your life. He has a plan. Even when you don't see him working, as I talked about last Sunday, he is working. And so Jesus made the grand entrance. Now, why would Jesus make a grand entrance? All these people, he chose a donkey to ride into the city of Jerusalem. A donkey of all things, of all things. Jesus, the Son of God, creator of the universe, everything that has been created, ever was, ever will be, decided to travel on a donkey. This donkey was borrowed, just like many other things that Jesus had borrowed. He borrowed a manger when he was born. He borrowed a boat to fish from. He borrowed bread and fish to feed the 5,000, right? He borrowed the upper room to have what we call the Last Supper, the communion. He borrowed the tomb for 3 days. Maybe he wants to borrow you. Maybe he wants to borrow your life. Maybe he wants to borrow something from us to use for his glory, to accomplish his plan. Is it possible that he could use our life to represent him? See, this donkey was a representation of Jesus. You say, a donkey? Isn't it interesting? If Jesus can use a donkey to represent him, he can certainly use us. Someone that can talk. Someone that can proclaim the name of Jesus. Someone that can lift up the name of Jesus. And so this donkey, I believe, is a representation. What are some of the correct characteristics? I looked up some of the characteristics of a donkey. Jesus uses donkey. And some of the characteristics I found is kind of what I thought, but I decided to take it officially. It says that donkeys are not easily startled, unlike horses, and have a keen sense of curiosity. Donkeys have a reputation for being stubborn, but this is due to their highly developed sense of self-preservation. Preservation, that's what I meant to say. It is difficult to force or frighten a donkey into doing something it sees as contrary to its own best interest. I'm giving you some time to think about how this would apply to some people we know, some close and dear friends. Donkeys are more independent in their thinking than horses and will reason, then make the decision. Training a donkey relies upon showing him or her by words and action that they can trust you to protect them from harm. Isn't that interesting? And Jesus chose a donkey. I would hesitate to compare ourselves to donkeys, but it's interesting, the comparison, isn't it? It's interesting that Jesus chose to use this donkey, but yet the donkey didn't kick back. The donkey, having a mind of its own, obviously from professionals that have dealt with donkeys, obviously firsthand, he wasn't so stubborn that he refused to go. Can there be traits from this donkey that we can learn from today? This may be the first sermon you've heard on a donkey. Maybe Jesus wants to use our abilities. Maybe Jesus wants to use our talents. Maybe he wants to use our hobbies. Maybe he wants to use our hurts. Maybe he wants to use our pains. Maybe he wants to use our failures. Maybe there's something, maybe there's a message in you that the Lord wants to use to touch somebody else, to actually represent Jesus. This donkey represented Jesus. The struggles in your life, the difficulties, the weaknesses, the mistakes, the imperfections, using you and I to deliver the love of Jesus Christ. This donkey delivered the love of Jesus Christ. So there are three things I want to bring up today that I believe will prepare us in a humorous way, bring this out of the story of the donkey bringing Jesus into Jerusalem. The first one I would say would be ready. Be ready to be used. Be ready to be used. Matthew 24:44 says this, "Therefore you also be ready. Be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." See, the plan of Jesus for you will come in his timing. The plan of Jesus to use that donkey was out of the blue for most of those people, including the disciples closest to him. Go get the donkey. They knew exactly where he was tied up. They went to him, untied him, and took him to Jesus. The timing of what Jesus will do in your life will require you to be ready. And being ready for Jesus at any moment is a lot more than just waking up and throwing your pants on. There's more to preparation than that. We know that every profession in our society will cause us to be ready, to prepare. There's a preparation in everything that we do. And being ready for Jesus when he comes is no different. To be prayed up, this isn't a word, but I believe that we should use it, faithed up, F-A-I-T-H-E-D, faithed up, expected up, lined up, stoked up, be ready. Be ready. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, "Watch, comma, stand fast in faith, comma, be brave, comma, be strong." Period. Watch, stand fast in faith, be brave, be strong. In my mind's eye, that gives me a picture or a visual of alert posture. That isn't being nervous, it isn't being scared. That's why it says be brave and strong. It's not being fearful. It's being ready. We're in alert posture. Even when we're sleeping, we're in alert posture. There's something in us that's always ready at a moment's notice. If there's something for us to do, something for us to say, somewhere for us to go, we're ready. It's being ready. It's always prepared. That donkey was ready. We're to be ready. The Bible says to be ready, to watch, to stand, to be brave, to be strong. And one of the keys that maybe we don't take as faithful as we should is prayer. We can be ready through prayer. Our source is Jesus, so as we pray, he allows us, he causes us to be ready. It's like being a football player without communicating with the coach. He's not ready to play because he's not in communication with the one calling the shots. If Jesus is calling the shots, and we see that he is and will, even to the end of time, up to eternity, God will know when that trumpet sounds. If he's calling all the shots, he's the one that we need to be in communication with so that we're ready when that time comes. Well, there are great things that God wants to use you to do to represent him that we've got to be ready. We've got to be listening to his voice. Prayer, and I've preached a whole series on prayer, but just briefly, prayer prepares us. It prepares our heart to say what needs to be said. It prepares our heart to not say what doesn't need to be said. Sometimes we might say something that we shouldn't have said. Sometimes it's kind of like the donkey. We just need to show and be an example to somebody. We need to show the love of God as much as we need to say the love of God, I guess. And so without prayer, without us being in tune with what he wants us to do, now I can't say that Jesus always tell me, okay, talk now. Shut up. Talk. Shut up. He doesn't do that. But through prayer, I learn his heart. I'm learning his heart, should I say. Through prayer, I'm learning his heart. What to say, and I don't always get it right. What to say, when to say it, and when not to say it. When just to be an example. Just to love. Just to show love. The second thing that prayer prepares us for is it causes us to take Jesus with us rather than operating in our own. It keeps Jesus in communication with us, and it causes him to walk with us. And the third thing it does, it prepares the heart of the one that we're going to. It prepares the one of the heart that we're going to. Prayer, as we pray, Lord, whoever I'm supposed to speak to today, many times we don't know who that is. Whoever I'm supposed to speak to today, prepare their heart that they'll receive what you want to say through me. If they don't receive it, you planted the seed. You're to be obedient, to take what you're to say, to take that love that the Lord has given you to give. But prayer is the key to us being ready, to be ready. The Bible says be ready in season and out of season. That's always to be ready. If the Lord's going to use a donkey to represent him, he's going to want you to represent him too, each one of us. Second thing, after be ready, we need to be willing. Be willing. Be willing is an act of our will. An act of me putting something else aside that's not as important as it is doing the will of God. Be willing. Be willing. God, I'm willing. I'm ready and I'm willing. If we're ready but not willing, then we need to get ready. But be ready and be willing to lay my will at the feet of Jesus. Lord, I want to be in your perfect timing. Second Corinthians 8, 11 and 12 says this, but now you also must complete the doing of it. Those three words are big. Complete the doing of it. That's an act of my will. That as there was a readiness to desire it, so there will also be a completion of what you have. Many times we start something, but it's hard to get motivated to do it. We're ready, but then when it comes the time to do it, there's more to this than what I thought there'd be. Yard work is one prime example. You get out there, you get all the tools ready, you get everything ready, the edger, the blower, the rake, all that, everything is ready, and then you realize, what was I thinking? This is bigger than what I'm feeling up to today. Maybe tomorrow, but we're not quite ready, are we? To lay aside my will to do what I should do. Now that's minor compared to having the will of God to do what we're to do for him. But he said, be a completion, 2 Corinthians 8:11, completion of what you have. Verse 12 says, for if there is first a willing mind, that's a sermon within itself, making sure our mind is willing. See, that's the battleground right there. You know, our feet does what our mind says do. If our mind says don't move, then our feet probably aren't going to move. So it says, first, a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has and not according to what he does not have. Let me remind you, Philippians 4:13, you don't have it there, but Philippians 4:13 says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So if I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, what I have is everything that I need to have to complete the work of the Lord. All I've got to have is a willing mind. I've got to be willing. I've got to be willing to press through. I've got to be willing to do that I'm supposed to do. I've got to be willing to lay aside my priority list. This is what I had planned, but this is what the Lord wants me to do. I really would like to invite them to church next Sunday, but I'm scared to do it. We're ready, but are we willing to be willing? To be excited about what God wants to do in us. At some point, there's going to be a requirement on our part to break out, to move our feet. The donkey was tied there, so he was ready. The donkey was tied there, he was ready. But when they came to him and took the rope off of the little wooden fence there, in my mind's eye, in front of the little hardware store where you were standing, they had more peanuts sitting out there too, I'm sure. But he was willing because he moved his feet to follow the person that came to get him. So his willing mind was transformed to his feet because he moved his feet and followed. He didn't buck against him. Are we ready and are we willing? And then third, are we able? Are we able? Now I looked for ready, willing, and able in the Bible, and I couldn't find it anywhere. So these three instructions are of Mike, but they're backed up by the Word of God. Are we able? Being able is being available. What I mean by that is, how can we be able if we don't make ourselves available? There have been times that something was needed, something was necessary, and I knew the perfect person to call on to ask for this favor to be done. And we have a plethora of hardworking, diligent, faithful people here. And I love that. But there's a time that isn't very often that I will think of a person that will be perfect in doing this task, but they weren't available. They tell me they're available, but they're not able because they're not available. How can you ask someone to do something if they're not available? I can't this time, but the next time. So, okay, the next time comes, can you this time? No, I can't this time, but I can the next time. So in order to be able, we've got to be available. What if that disciple had walked to that fence in front of the hardware store where the boiled peanuts were boiling? What if he had walked up there and the rope was there, but the donkey was gone? Well, he was able, but he wasn't available. He flew the coop. So we've got to be available. We've got to be available. Thank y'all for helping me through this. Let me put it another way. There are some talented people in our community. I mean, talented, beyond belief. But unless it's something that they want to do, they're not available. Jesus is more interested in your availability than in your ability. I've got so much in me, I can't even verbalize it. Being able, if we are able, then we are willing to put whatever God wants us to do on the line, rather than for it to be at the right price, at the right moment, with the right atmosphere, with the right this, with the right that, with the right the other. There are people that are talented today that we could call on, that we could possibly draw a crowd here and use their abilities and their talents, but they're not available to God because it's on their terms and not God's terms. I would rather make myself available to God and it be less than to think I've got to perfect what I've got to do just for the entertainment of people. I would rather have somebody that has a heart for God to please God and to be less talented than for the talented, most talented person in the world, and they be obnoxious and really a donkey to work around. Is that clear as mud? Let me put it this way. I believe that Jesus could have chose a Clydesdale horse for that day, for the entrance day. He could have gotten the most beautiful horse. Have y'all seen a Clydesdale? Did y'all know that God made that Clydesdale? Did you know that there was probably a herd of Clydesdale within a half a mile of where Jesus was that day? He could have had the best of the best. He could have had the most beautiful horse. I mean, would have blown their mind. Jesus could have said, okay, guys, take the truck and trailer and go get the Clydesdale. I know the owner. He could have had anything he wanted. Chris, he could have had a Rolls Royce. He could have had whatever he wanted. Can you help me see this today? The Clydesdale versus the donkey. There should be a movie about this one day. The Clydesdale versus the donkey. Now, who wouldn't take the Clydesdale over the donkey? Was the Clydesdale available? Was he able? We knew that the donkey was. He wasn't quite as flashy. He wasn't quite as pretty. But he was ready, willing, and able to be used by Jesus to do the work that he was sent to do. It's not always the best in our eyes. See, that's where we get into comparing ourselves one to another. We say, well, Jesus, are you sure you want me to say something? I'm not nearly as good at talking as so-and-so is. I'm not nearly as fashionable as so-and-so is. I'm not nearly as good a person as that other person is. But are you ready, willing, and able? Can the Lord use you, your talents and abilities? Are you wanting to do what you do through the heart of Jesus or through the heart of you? That's what Jesus is looking for. He could care less about the Clydesdale. He made them, hear me. He could care less about the Rolls Royce. He could care less about the flashiness of it. He wants more of the heart of the person that wants to please him. He cares more about the person that wants to do what he's called him to do. Listen, he's not impressed by people that know everything. He's not impressed by people that have everything. He's not impressed by the perfect person, the perfect talking person, the perfect person that has it all together. That doesn't impress God. He wants the one who is ready, willing, and able, says, I'm here. I remember when I was early 20s, I mean, I had been raised in church. I had been, that's all I knew. I cut my teeth on the church pews. I think I was in church service on a Sunday just weeks after I was born, from what Mom and Dad told me. And so I was there and been there all my life. I was raised in it. I mean, anytime the doors were open, or if they thought about unlocking the door, we were standing there. I mean, we were there all the time. And so when I got to my 20s, we were married and I had Josh. And And I was, I mean, we raised our family the same way. If the door was open, we were there. Josh and Jordan never asked us, can we stay at home today? That would be like saying, can I eat supper today? I mean, it'd be, they already knew the answer to it. Can I stay home? Well, absolutely not. Get in the car, you know. And so there was a time in my 20s that I felt the Lord dealing with me and felt an unction in my spirit that I was supposed to do more. I mean, I was always faithful to church. I played music. I was there and led worship and all those things and loved every minute of that. But I felt like there was more. So I was real eager. I stayed at my post. The rope was on the rail for the hardware store, the boiled peanuts. I was there. I was there available. I was there. I was faithful. So I made myself available. I was always there. Pastor, can I do anything? Can I do anything to help you? So that time went by, and as I began to seek and say, God, I'm pretty sure there's more that I need to be doing, and he wouldn't say anything. He wouldn't even answer me. And unbeknownst to me, looking back now, he was preparing me every step of the way. And I could have gotten discouraged in my 20s and my 30s. I could have gotten discouraged by doing the same thing, standing there just doing the same thing over and over again, rather than for waiting for God's timing to do what he wanted to do. And so I even went as far as meeting with a pastor that I trusted back in my 20s and said, Pastor, I really feel like I need to be doing more. And do you know what he had the nerve to tell me? Go study the Bible. I mean, dude, how much more can I study the Bible? I was in Sunday school before I had teeth. And so I didn't take offense to that. Surprisingly, I didn't take offense to that, really, in my 20s, especially since I knew everything. I didn't take offense to that. But I trusted God and I stayed faithful. I stayed tied up. When I saw others around me, when I saw other donkeys just running around, other donkeys being used to take feed to homes and being used for other things, children riding the donkeys, here I am tied up to the post for the hardware store with the board peanuts. And so as I was there and stayed there, and then the next thing I knew, there was a call coming. Would you come and speak? I remember my first sermon. I don't know how old I was, but Chris and I were married, and I was asked to speak at this, I guess it was a homecoming or something out in the country, this church, and I was so nervous. I've never seen a chicken on a hot tin roof, but that's the way I was. I was scared. Well, I gave that 5-minute sermon, and I was sweating bullets the whole time, and I said, God, thank you that I'm not a preacher. I thought this is what I wanted, and now I know it's not. So I went home and thanked God that he would never open a door for me again. Lo and behold, he did. And so the Lord kept putting little things in front of me as I kept staying faithful. I was ready. I found myself willing. And then eventually, that burden got so heavy on my heart, about 11, 12 years ago, that I was losing sleep at night. And as much as it scared me silly, I knew that there was something else that he wanted to do in my life. And so I think about this donkey. We're talking about this donkey here. It says in Isaiah 1:19, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. See, we've got to be willing, we've got to be ready, we've got to be willing, but we've also got to be obedient. We've got to be able. We've got to bring it to completion. We've got to fulfill his purpose. At some point, we've got to put feet to the prayer, to the faith. And it said, as we're willing and obedient, that word and there is important. It didn't say willing or obedient. It said willing and obedient. Then you shall eat of the good of the land. Now, the good of the land, many times we think that in a material or literal sense, and I believe it counts that too. But most importantly, the good of the land is when you can lay your head down at night in peace, knowing that you are fulfilling God's purpose. There is no greater good in the land than having peace in God. Now, I think the other things will come. That's fine. Chris and I were talking the other day. The key to that is, just a side note, the key to that is the things of life being blessed over and over is that you don't make that your priority, is that that's not your God. So once you get past that and past to where it's not your God and it's nice, but you're going to serve God anyway, then I believe God can trust you to bless you in that sense. But this is talking about something much deeper, and that is the good of the land is having peace in your heart that you can live and thrive because you're in the center doing what God's called you to do. That is most important to God than anything else, is that you're in the center of his will, that you're being used by him, willing and obedient. Now, Paul talked a lot about this. He talked about striving, pressing on, pressing toward the mark. Paul talked a lot about this. So it's vitally important that we not just be ready and willing, but we be able, that we are there available to deliver and to do what God's called us to do. Too many times we're out skirting here and skirting there and doing all the things that we want to do. You know, I talked about commitment a few weeks ago and having the commitment to, not to man, not to church, but to God. Having the commitment to God that you're willing to lay aside your own plans to let God do those things in your life. And I believe that it's through that, just as we just read here in Isaiah 1:19, as we do that, as we stay our post, as we keep where we're supposed to be, as we're willing to do what God calls us to do, then we will see the fruit of what God wants to bring in our life. And that fruit that he brings, it cannot be purchased. That fruit that he brings in our life cannot be obtained any other way except by being available to God. That's the only way. James 1:22 says this, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. We've got to listen to the word. We've got to go study the Bible like I was told in my 20s. We've got to study the Bible. That was a wise man. It's one thing to read the Bible. It's another thing to study it. It's one thing to know what it says. It's another thing to get it right here. That's what he was saying. Be doers. In other words, act like you're reading it, not just read it, not just quote it. We can quote it. We can learn anything, right? We can quote it backwards and forwards, and I have nothing against memorizing the Bible. We need to memorize the Bible. There could come a day, one day, that we don't have these pages. Could be that the only word we've got is what's in our mind. So we need to memorize it. It could come. But if we don't get it in our heart, then it's not going to change us. It's not going to affect us unless we get it down in our heart and allow God to do the work in us. I feel like maybe there's some of you here today that feel like that you've been tied to the post, that you've been overlooked, that you've been passed by, that you've missed your opportunity, that you've messed up. The church today is full of people that are hurt and are disappointed. Why? Because it's not because of God. It's because they haven't found their purpose and God's purpose in their life to carry it forward. I think it's interesting that Jesus didn't send a veterinary down to check out the horse before he had the horse brought up to him. I mean, I would want to know, are his feet in good shape? Nobody had ever sat on this donkey, much less rode him. Go check out the donkey. Make sure he's okay. If he is, then bring him to me. If he's not, go look for another donkey. But he didn't. He didn't check him out. Listen, God is more interested in your heart than he is in your abilities. He can work on the abilities, but it's hard to get the one with the abilities to have the heart of God. Why? Because they've got it all figured out. It's sad, but it's true. Ones that have all the abilities, has it all together, they are polished. They've got everything that anybody could ever want. They look good. They sound good. But do they have a heart of God? God would rather take us just like we are, an old donkey tied to a post, and say, listen, I want to use you to represent me. Just because you feel like you've been overlooked today, just because you feel like you've missed it, just because you feel like maybe you have somehow or another sidelined God in your life, it is not too late, as long as you're ready, willing, and able to do what he's called you to do. And you know what? As long as there's breath in your body, age does not matter. Age does not matter from one moment old to 120 or however old you want to go. Age does not matter. There is a purpose for your life. And it's a matter of fulfilling God's purpose. He wants to use you. He wants to use you. I mean, it's just like God. He wants to bring us in and get us ready and to take us to affect other people. He wants to use you to represent him. What an honor. What an honor that Jesus is calling us today to change our lives. He loves you so much. All these days, this Holy Week coming up this week, we're going to hear this a lot. It's truth. It's the Bible. That's how much he loves you. He came to give his life for you, but it doesn't stop there. It doesn't end there. He wants you now to represent him, to take him to others. Just as he sat on that old donkey and rode into Jerusalem and all those people hollered and praised and all those things, that donkey was carrying the weight of Jesus while Jesus was carrying the weight of the world. Job 36:11 says, if they obey and serve him, speaking of God, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Again, the prosperity and the pleasures is all right there in the Word of God. That's first and foremost. Material things, that's fine. But the first thing is to serve God. Obey and serve God. Then we'll spend our days of prosperity and years of pleasure. Listen, that does not matter what the world's economy says. That doesn't matter what Wall Street does. God can bless you in spite of everything else going to hell in a handbasket all around you. God's blessings is not linked to the world's blessings. God is able as long as we're able. What is Jesus wanting to send you to do today? Be ready, be willing, be able.